Dave Burke, First Star Football Report. We wanted to bring a special feature to First Star Football Report. We want to go back and talk to some young men who have played high school football and maybe even collegiately, locally in the Cincinnati and Dayton area. I'm super excited about the first guest we have on Where Are They Now? Solomon Tettman, a former Roger Bacon standout, University of Cincinnati graduate. And stay tuned because I think we're going to have fun with this one. I am super excited. Solomon Tettman, welcome to Where Are They Now?
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing great. I have known you for, I don't want to say the years, but I think it's 2008 was when we first met.
2007.
You were a sophomore, I think, at Roger Bacon, injured.
On crutches.
And your high school coach had a lot of great things to say about you, and I had a chance to just kind of follow you. And, you know, you're one of those guys that when I had a chance to see what you were doing on the field, I was like, oh, this young man can play. And so we've known each other for that amount of time. You end up being a member of the 2010 University of Cincinnati football recruiting class, went on. And again, adversity, you fought through adversity. And I knew UC was special. You know, we talk about now, you get all this stuff about hometown heroes. You're one of the early hometown heroes. There's always been young men who wanted to stay home. Your mom's a UC grad as well. So it was, you know, you were excited about being a part of the University of Cincinnati football program. But today, boy, I feel old. You're not. You're still young. I'm young at heart.
Yeah.
Let's go back. I want to go back right now. We're going to get about what you're doing now, but let's go back that 2007, 2006. You guys were, I think, GCL champions. So, you know, you had success early in your high school career at Roger Bacon. Talk about playing at Roger Bacon and why it was special for you.
Man, I it's funny that we're doing this now. I'm getting the opportunity to come on here. Thanks again for having me. I was actually just thinking about this the other day, and I was just thinking about the journey that I've gone on and to get to this point where I am now. That 2007 year, we actually had Coach Starkey had retired, and we were looking for new coaches. I can't remember who they interviewed, but we ended up bringing in John Rodenberg that year. And to this day, I still talk to John Rodenberg. He was only at Roger Bacon for a year. I was hurt for the first six games of that season, but he made a ginormous impact on me as a head coach. Just, you know, mentality, how you're supposed to approach things, whether it's the weight room, whether it's practice, whether it's film, whatever it is, and how you're supposed to handle and carry yourself. I got a lot of that stuff from him. So, it was no surprise that he had the success that he did at Moeller and the success that he's had everywhere else. But I would say after that, and we got Kevin Huxel. Kevin Huxel did a really good job of, you know, kind of developing and mentoring me into a more precise version of what John Rodenberg had started. You know, going into that 2008 season, there was a little bit of uncertainty amongst us as teammates and stuff, just going from three head coaches in 3 years and having to deal with that. And, you know, we kind of started off on a bumpy road. I know we ended up 4-6 that year, but probably I was just telling one of our coaches the other day, it was one of the best 4-6 teams I've probably ever played. You know, we played some pretty good teams that year. We played Wynn Woods, who they stomped on everyone that year. That was Chris Williams, who I played with, Malik Bomar, Jeremiah Goins, Dominique Brown. I mean, you name it, they had all the kids on that team. And, you know, we played a few other teams that year, but I think that year was really defining for me. The reason I sit on that year, because that year was really defining for me, because I knew it was make or break in terms of, you know, getting college looks, because everyone's like, yeah, your junior season, everything. And I actually talked to Coach Combs leading up to that season, but I knew it was make or break for me. Long story short, I made the most of it, and I played pretty well. And after that season, I got my first offer from the University of Cincinnati. That was January 28th, 2009. And I remember Coach Combs brought me up to UC, and I sat down with Brian Kelly, And we had ourselves a nice little chat, and he offered me right there. And then 2 months later, my mom was a UC grad, but at the same time, she was like, I kind of want you to go away. And, you know, I was sitting there like, it's easy to say that until you have Coach Combs recruiting you every single day. I think he's one of the best recruiters of all time. You know, that guy doesn't really tell a bunch of lies. And he gives it to you straightforward with all the more passion than anybody I've ever met. So on that day was March 10th, 2009, I committed. So, and then the rest is history. But it was Roger Bacon did a really good job. John Rodenberg, Kevin Huxel, our current head coach right now, Mike Blau, who was the offensive coordinator. He did a really good job of helping me develop as a young man while I was at Roger Bacon. And there's obviously a countless amount of people within the school as well. My counselor and right now my current coworker, Pam Rossfeld, she helped me out a ton. There's so many people I can sit here and thank, but I'm thankful for the Roger Bacon atmosphere and all of the support they gave me so I could make it to that level.
Right now, we talked about leading into it, the adversity, facing adversity. And we talk about injuries, but you also, as you talk about, was recruited to the University of Cincinnati by Brian Kelly, Kerry Combs, but then adversity hit because all of a sudden University of Notre Dame wants Brian Kelly as their head coach. And so you had to go through that. And, you know, how much did it help the fact that, you know, Kerry Combs stayed to be part of the next coaching staff?
Oh, it helped a ton. I can't tell you. I can't say I would or wouldn't have. But if Coach Combs wasn't been there, that would have made it a lot harder to consider the University of Cincinnati. I love the University of Cincinnati. It's great. But Coach Combs, I talk to Coach Combs still to this day. I mean, we text back and forth. He's a great guy. He's a person that cares about you. He wants you to be the best football player, but he wants you to be the best person that you possibly be. And he was huge. And he's a straight shooter. He thought it how he see it. He saw it, and I can't thank him enough for recruiting me to the University of Cincinnati. I mean, I have the most gratitude and respect for that person. I know all types of things in terms of just where he's been and him being able to just be able to study him and see how he goes about things. It's helped me in my career and the way that I need to go about things. I can't confirm or deny I would have been at the University of Cincinnati, but man, Coach Combs made an easy decision. I can tell you that right now, 100%.
We like I said, we've known each other. As you know, my feelings of you about you as a person, as a player, I thought you were kind of one of those guys. I do a lot of things on hidden gems and under the radar. And even though you had some rankings, I don't think you got the, the respect you deserve, because you went on the University of Cincinnati early on, or was making an impact until, again, we get into injuries slowing things down. But, talk about, kids make so much out of rankings now as compared to when you were going through high school, and your thoughts on rankings.
You know, as a high school kid, I can sit back. I remember seeing all those rankings and yada, yada, yada. I was this and that on Rivals. I was this and that on Scout. There was no 24/7 back then. Then it's a lot more detailed now than it is then. And obviously with social media, it's only become amplified. I shut my recruitment down after 2 months. So I get, I guess you could say you were right. You know, I had a few schools come in after I committed, and they said, hey, I would have offered you, but you're committed, so yada yada yada, moving on. But in terms of the whole, the whole star thing, it don't matter. I know once you get on campus, a two-star can take your spot in any minute, because you guys got the same playing field. You might have more natural ability than him. He's got the same weight room, he's got the same nutrition, he's got the same coaches, he's got the same hours in the day, he's got the same academic advisor, he's got the same everything. So once you get on campus, I mean, it goes away. And oh, it's good for getting noticed and all that stuff, and it's good, but you can't let that stuff go to your head. I can't express that enough, because again, once you get on campus, coaches don't care about that. They throw that out the window. I've seen kids, I'm trying to think. I can't remember who I played against. Heck, it might have been Dominique Brown. Heck, I think he was a two-star up until his senior year. you know, and he had offers out of the wazoo. And then finally, out of nowhere, he was like a 4 or 5 star or something. So you can't, you know, you can't hang your hat on those things. You got to kind of show up and put in the work daily, and then you kind of take care of yourself. I think there's a stat out there. Obviously, there's a lot of 5 stars and 4 stars littered throughout the NFL, yada, yada. But there's a lot of 3 stars. There's a whole ton of 3 stars, and there's 2 stars, and there's guys who come from FCS that didn't even get a star. So it's one of those types of things. Like, once you hit that campus, you got the same 4 to 5 year clock, maybe 6 years, depending on if you get hurt, as everybody else. You got the same resources as everybody else. How are you managing it? That's what's really important. I love the recruiting stuff. I follow it. I look at kids all the time now and stuff. It's because it's funny. We got a blue chip kid on our team, Corey Kiner. I love looking at that stuff. But I think there needs to be more of a shift, and it's got to come from the high school coaches on getting those kids prepared to enter into those environments so that they don't become that 4 star, that 5 star that flaked out because they weren't ready and they let the hype go to their head.
When I say Cincinnati high school football, what does that mean to you?
When you say Cincinnati high school football, it's some of the best in the country. And in terms of cities, I don't know many cities that are better than Cincinnati high school football. And, you know, you can find your linemen, you can find your linebackers, you can find your quarterbacks, receivers, yada, yada, yada. You mean Cincinnati high school football from Division I all the way down to Division V, there's good talent all the way down. I think in terms of people outside of Ohio, we don't get as much respect. I don't know why. Because I just remember talking to a lot of my teammates. You're from Cincinnati. I'm like, you have no idea what Cincinnati high school football is like, let alone Ohio high school football. So I think Cincinnati high school football and Ohio football in general is a little bit underrated. I mean, I might be probably because of the spring ball factor and other things like that. But I know I'm not. Me personally, I'm not a big spring ball guy. I like for my guys to go play other sports. You know, go run track, run the heck out of track, go play basketball, go wrestle, go do all those things. But, you know, I think in terms of we stack up pretty well in terms of everybody else across the country.
Yeah, I remember before you were at UC, there was a group of players at UC like Marcus Barnett and so forth. And they went to a St. X game, and I want to say it was against Good Counsel. An out-of-state team, and they were shocked. Yeah. They were shocked about how many people were at the high school football game on a Saturday afternoon, and it was an off weekend, and it surprised them. And it was, I think, like you said, when those guys come from out of town and they get a chance on a bye weekend to maybe get out with some of their teammates that are local, and they get to one of the local games, it kind of surprises them, the fan following a lot of the schools we have. You stand out at Roger Bacon, you go to the University of Cincinnati, you have those up and down moments, success and you know, I guess you would say heartache or disappointments.
Absolutely.
But you had a passion for the game that carried over to after your playing career, and you spent some time at The Ohio State University. Talk about your time there.
So when I graduated, I went to first before I went to Ohio State, I actually went up to Lake Erie College, and I was a graduate assistant, but I was the linebackers coach up there for that 2015 season. And it was awesome. I mean, small town, Painesville, Ohio, and kind of a newer program at the time. I think the program had been 8 years old, but that was really, 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 really good experience for me. Having to be the grunt and wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go get the stadium ready, equipment ready for practice at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then going back to the school to take classes and then breaking down film. That did a lot for me. You know, any GA across the country, regardless of your level, you get frustrated at times and it gets weary, especially that season. We didn't play too well. We weren't a good football team. Our linebackers were pretty good. We had some pretty solid guys, Christian Cole, Nick Zabados, who's a Mola guy, and then Zach Jude and Isaiah Wheeler, who actually went overseas and played in Germany for a little bit. But it was a great experience, and it actually set me up pretty well for when I got Ohio, when I got the call to come go intern at Ohio State. So funny enough, Jimmy Rodenberg, John Rodenberg's son, he hit me up one morning. It was actually when I was going back to Lake Erie College because I was back in Cincinnati recruiting. He hit me up and he was like, "Hey, I got an opportunity for you if you're interested." And I was like, "No, no, man, I don't know." And long story short, I ended up taking the opportunity. And I mean, I wasn't making money at the time, but I didn't care. I was ready to prove myself. And, you know, it was new for me. I was always a weight room guy. I was always working hard in the weight room. I knew what not to do from our first strength coach. I knew what to do from our second strength coach. But I knew that there was something that I was missing. So I was like, you know, let's try it out. Let's see how it goes. Long story short, it ended up going really well. I went up there. I was interning. I ended up working. Let's see. I woke up every single morning, 3:50 in the morning. Sometimes I would not get home at night till 7 p.m. And that's kind of the reason why I ended up flaking out of it. But I remember distinctly the third day I was up there. I remember walking in the weight room from the training room, and I looked to my left, and Urban Myers, he's kind of a strange dude, but I love him. He kind of was just staring at me. I'm like, "Are you a player?" I'm like, "No, I'm an intern." He's like, "What's your name?" Name's Solomon Tim. I told him I was Roger Bacon. He's like, "Oh, my best friend high school went to my roommate in college went to Roger Bacon." I was like, "No way." And from there, Urban doesn't talk to a lot of guys, but me and him got to talk a little bit. So it was awesome being able to be around him, Nicky Marotti, Quinn Barham. Quinn, I still talk to this day. He was huge for me up there. I can't tell you how great of a guy he is. I still talk to him to this day. He's a great guy, a good role model for me. But when I was up there, we basically were in the weight room assisting the strength coaches. We would take some of our guys. Sometimes they were walk-ons, sometimes they were dudes. A lot of time, Nicky Marotti trains his guys he wants to get ready for high level competition. But I would say the best part about me being up there is just learning. Like we had a good culture at University of Cincinnati for when Coach Jones was there. Coach Jones, he catches a lot of flack for being corny and yada yada yada. But I have all the gratitude in the world for the guy. I mean, he could have medically disqualified me after I tore everything in my knee, and he didn't. And that's enough for me. You know, I know it happened differently for a lot of different people and yada, 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 but he saved my life, honestly. I'll be honest with you. He saved my life having to deal with that. But going from his culture and then going up to Ohio State, I'm like, oh, this is where he got all this stuff from. No wonder. Like, that place is run as good as any organization, non-sport or sport related, as I've ever seen. And that's the reason why they're so successful. They got a culture, they stick to the culture, and regardless of who you are, if you ain't lining up, you gotta find a way to get with it or get lost. So it was a really, really good opportunity, and it was a great experience that kind of propelled me to become the person that I am right now.
Let's move forward. You are now back in Cincinnati at Roger Bacon High School. We had a chance to connect last fall, week one of the season, when Roger Bacon played Dayton Dunbar, and get a chance, as you talked about, you have one of the blue chips in the state on your roster, Corey Kiner. But you guys have a lot of other players, and that Dunbar game, I think, was overshadowed. You guys got off to a really great start on the opening kickoff with Corey making a return, and it gets overshadowed because of more of a situation from the other team. And, you know, when you sit there and a game ends like that, how did you and how did the coaching staff communicate to your players on, hey, you know, we're representing not just our school, but we represent football in this state?
So funny enough, that's a great question. So funny enough, when the whole thing in the altercation happened with the ref, they sent us both to the locker room. And at that moment, we didn't know if the game had got called or not yet. We were still anticipating coming back out, yada, yada, yada. But we go in the locker room, the kids are kind of like, I don't want to say they were celebrating or whatnot, but they were like, oh, we've got the momentum. Kind of let's keep this up. But kind of went in the locker room and I kind of chilled them down. I kind of chewed them out a little bit. I'm like, hey guys, the game ain't over. We got to keep our focus. Yada, yada, yada. regardless of what they do out in the field and what happens, we have to be who we are. Because you know, you can play football as much as you want, but your identity is going to follow you on the field and off the field. And if you act a certain way when you're playing football, when you're practicing football, more than likely you act the same exact way when you're at home, when you're in the classroom, when you're out hanging out with your buddy. So that was something I emphasized to them. And obviously when they came out and told us the game got called, we celebrated because we were the winners, but that was something I really emphasized to them from that situation. And also I reached out to the Dunbar coach and I felt bad for him because I think that was his first year as well. And he was trying to build the program up and just trying to support him as much as I could, if I could do anything for him. Cause you know, I know that he was really big on trying to institute a real culture up there. So it was unfortunate, but at the same time, it was a learning lesson for our kids, for me, and for everyone involved.
Let's talk about that stud in the room, Corey Kiner, committed to LSU, getting out of the Buckeye State, Ohio State, UC. I'm sure both programs would have loved to have him in the recruiting class, but he's going to become an LSU Tiger wearing that purple and yellow. And let's talk about first Corey Kiner as a person away from the football field.
And so Corey, my brother Ronnie, he was actually Corey's one of Corey's great school coaches. He's known Cliff for a very long time. I've known Cliff for a while now. We have a good relationship. Corey, you know, it sounds cliche as heck, but I don't just say stuff to say stuff. Like, there's not a lot of people with that amount of talent walking around with that kind of composure and understanding of who they are and not letting it get to their head. You know, if you go on all these recruits pages, you'll see, oh, such and such, 4-star recruit, 5-star recruit, number this in the nation, yada, 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 this and that, such and such. You don't get that sense from Corey. If you had no idea, if sports didn't exist or whatever, you didn't know Corey played football, whatever, you'd have no idea how good he was, because just the way he carries himself around the school, like, he's a true yes sir, no sir kid. And I mean that. Like, I mean, you met him, you talked to him. He says yes sir, no sir every single time. His dad and mom raised him exceptionally well. His dad being a military guy, that'll help. And also with Corey being the youngest of, I think, 4 or 5, he got to learn the lessons from his older brothers and sisters, and they'll tell you that as well. But in terms of him being who he is, not only is he humble, he's extremely dynamic outside of his abilities. You know, he's got some chiseling out to do in terms of his leadership, but he is no fear of conflict whatsoever. And that, I feel like, is one of the most impeding things to any organization, to any team, to any sport, whatever you want to be, because if you don't have a guy that's afraid to call people out on their nonsense, then the nonsense gets tolerated. And if the nonsense gets tolerated, it ends up being, the nonsense goes from nonsense to habits. And then now your organization is going down. But that's one of the best things about him. He's not afraid to call anyone out. He's not afraid to put people in their place. And I seeing him go from where he was last year to being a more vocal, present leader, it's been really good to see. You know, watching him mature, I can't believe it. I came in when he was a freshman and it's freaking flown by. It's been great to see. It really has.
I remember having that conversation with you. Enjoy these moments when you're in high school, because they go by faster than you. And that's what we're, you know, we can't stop the hands of time from going. And as much as we want to talk about Corey Kiner, and I'm sure people want to learn more, at the same time, you're the defensive coordinator. You've got some other guys on that team that I want you to give them some love, because I'm sure they're going to watch this and they're going to say, "Coach, you talk about me."
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. One of our guys, actually, he gave me the shirt today. He came back. James Thompson. He's at Wisconsin. They sent them home for 2 weeks.
Again, one of the biggest hidden gems in the last class.
Absolutely, he's one of the biggest, and he's still he's a year young. He turns 18, and I think a week and a half. So he's already up to 280 pounds, and it's a good 280. I'm looking forward to some good things out of him, but he was actually busting my chops about that today. You know, whenever you do Corey. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hear it. We've got some kids. Roger Bacon, we get some talent around here. I'd say one kid, you know, this whole pandemic and everything, the cancellations of college camps is absolutely killed. It's been Nigel Mooney. Yeah. I mean, this kid, it's killed him. This kid is legit. 6 foot, 217 pounds now. And he's a legit 4'4 kid, hand time, but he's a legit 4'4 kid. I'm not busting anyone's chops with that. 3 weeks in a row, I timed him at the same exact time. He's a legit kid. And once he learns to finally put it together, he's going to be very, very, very special because he's our strongest, fastest kid. He just surpassed Corey in those regards. You know, Corey was always our strongest, fastest kid until Nigel came along. So once he figures it out completely, he's still kind of new to football. Last year was his first year of real football. I think his style's going to be the limit for that kid. You know, we've got him. We've got Ryan Holla as well, 6'4", 227 pounds right now. He's a tight end, but he's also going to play defensive end / outside linebacker for me in our defense. And he's a really good kid who's come a long way. He was when he came in, he was probably about a 6'1", maybe about 75. He was a quarterback. They'll tell you, though, for his first scrimmage at quarterback, he fumbled the ball 5 times, but he moved to receiver, and he actually played safety his sophomore year, and he tied the school record for interceptions. So that's why we made the decision to finally just go ahead and put him on outside line. But he's a good kid. He has good ball skills, great blocker, tough physical kid, especially without the experience. And him being a first-year tight end is a really good blocker. I'm looking forward to seeing him do some things this year on top of Danny Hudepohl, who's one of our best athletes. And I mean, I could go down the line. We got a lot of good kids, but yeah, those are some kids the coronavirus has kind of hurt, you know, in terms of these not having camps, not being able to go showcase skills and stuff. So I'm holding out. Hopefully we get a season, but we'll see what happens.
You went through the recruiting process. Can you even fathom, you know, camps are more important now than what they were when you were coming out of high school? Mm-hmm. Could you even think about, you know, when you were that age, what were you going through your mind knowing that I'm not getting my opportunity to showcase what I can do, the work? I just happened before we did this, I was on 700 WLW with Chick Ludwig, and, you know, he had a guest before me that, you know, and they were talking about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, a year ago, does not end up being the number one draft pick in the NFL if this is going on a year ago. And I said, and I used Matthew Reavy from St. Xavier as an example, who didn't get a chance to be the starter till a senior year. If it was happening now, he doesn't end up showcasing what he can do and getting, you know, he didn't get his first D1 scholarship till December of his senior year and ends up signing with Boston College. You know, can you, what would be going through your mind if you were that 17-year-old kid and they say, hey, you can't go visit a college. You can't go camp out of college. They can't come and see you in the spring to evaluate you or talk to your coaches or pull your transcripts or any of the number of things that go on recruiting.
Oh, I'd be stressed. You know, and you're right. It's completely different. The camp cycles, the satellite camps, the rivals camps, all those things, it's completely different than when I went. I went to one camp when I was in high school, the University of Cincinnati's camp, and I was only in my sophomore year. I didn't go to any other camps. So I was blessed and fortunate that I was 6'3 or 205, 210 pounds as a sophomore, but like I didn't really go to many camps. So, you know, if I was in the midst of this right now, I'd be pretty worrisome. You know, I think there's a big anxiety, mental health component to this coronavirus thing and pandemic that a lot of people really aren't recognizing that's playing on these kids, whether it be stressing about how am I going to pay for college if I can't even showcase myself. And how am I, like, you know, there's a lot of things that are going through their minds. And, you know, I think on top of that, just us as coaches, we got to make sure that we keep them calm and just do as much as we possibly can within our scope. You know, if we get to play, then we got to make sure that we put them in the position to play. But if not, we got to make sure that whatever that kid needs, whether it's me sending their film, me sending word of mouth to somebody, me sending something, or me just being someone to listen to them and their concerns, whatever they may be, I think that's really important for the kids in this. It would be very, very hard not knowing how your future is going to play out. And I know it's been playing on some of our guys. They've been stressing out about it. And it's very, very unfortunate, you know. But on top of that, I will say this: our kids, especially our top guys, especially Nigel, Ryan Hala, those guys, when the coronavirus broke and was we broke, I think March 18th, that Saturday, they didn't stop working. They were working out every single day. They sent their videos in to me and Coach Blau weekly. And they were putting in work and they were making sure that we talk about it all the time. Coach Blau says it, I say it. We were making sure we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. That's so bad. They call a college camp, or if they say we get to play or yada yada yada, okay, I'm already ready to go. I'm in my prime. I don't have to get ready. I'm ready to go. So there's a little bit of anxiety playing, but at the same time, it's adversity, and we preach N plus response equals outcome. You know, you can't control coronavirus. You can't control when coronavirus is going to end, but you can control how you respond to that situation. I think that's my biggest plea to all these athletes out here that feel like their world is crumbling and their world is crashing. Just remember how you respond to this and this pandemic and what happens regardless of your state is how you're going to respond to adversities that might be bigger than coronavirus in the future. You're going to have adversity never stops, no matter how old or how young you are. So you got to take this opportunity as an opportunity for growth and really try to run with it. I think that's the biggest part of that for the kids. But there's an anxiety, worry factor at play for sure.
We're talking with Solomon Tittmann. He's the defensive coordinator now at Roger Bacon High School. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and finish up with Solomon. And right after a word from our sponsor, First Star Logistics.
Dave Lapham here. And every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.
And again, we want to thank First Star Logistics for all their support at First Star Football Report. If you're looking for a new career, be sure to check out firststarlogistics.com because they are hiring. Our guest is Solomon Tittmann. We're doing on First Star Football Report, Where Are They Now? Solomon is a young man I've known since 2007 when he was a high school football player, young high school football player at Roger Bacon High School. And he's went on to play at the University of Cincinnati, worked in multiple jobs. He's back at Roger Bacon High School as the defensive coordinator. And I say you're more than a coach. You're a mentor. I've seen you around your young men, as I said a year ago with the Dunbar game. We've spoke a couple different times over the last year. And talk about that passion, because coaching is about having a passion, not just for the game of football, but also for working with young people.
Absolutely. I can't explain how important it is to me that I am coaching the Jimmy and the Joe and not the X's and O's. And you can ask anyone on our staff or anyone that knows me. I freaking study football more than I study almost anything. I can tell you numerous schemes, yada, yada, yada. But it does not matter if the kid walks in your door the same, or sorry, walks out of your doors the same that he walked in. It makes no difference, because football ends for everybody. It ends for me. It ends for Corey. It ends for Isaiah Pede. It ends for Zach Caleros. It ends for everyone, man. And who you are and who you're being developed and how you're developing while you're playing football, you're going to be that same person when football is done. It's fail safe. I mean, I've seen it. Seen people who were lazy, who didn't work hard, who didn't really care. Then they get out in the real world. It's the same exact thing. I see people who worked their tail off, fought through adversity, and now they're still doing the same exact thing without complaining, taking everything in stride. I think that is the most important thing that we have to, as coaches, we have to do. If you're in it for X's and O's, I'm not judging you, but I would implore you to find a deeper meaning behind it, because these kids need our help, especially now more than ever. Now these kids have all these phones and they're getting all their information and all their influence from social media. They need a sound, respected, respectful person in their life that can guide them on the right direction. Guide them in the right direction, I should say, because there's just so much nonsense and trash out there. And we get so caught up and we get so engulfed in sports and And it's, I mean, it's awesome. I love sports. It's fun. I'm a competitor. I'm the last person that wants to lose anything. If I'm going to go do something, I promise you I'm going to win. But at the same time, life goes on if you don't, and you got to be able to find a lesson whether you win or lose. So I think that's the most important part for coaching for me, planting seeds in kids that they might not plant. Sometimes some of those kids, seeds don't sprout till senior year, some sophomore, junior year. Some of them might not sprout till they're 23, 24 years old, till they're sitting there like, man, coach did say that. Oh, maybe I should get my act together. I think that's the most important part. Well, football, soccer, basketball, whatever it is, I think that is what has to be done. And I think you're missing out on a lot of quality experience if you're not getting that done.
We're recording this on Saturday, August 15th. Everyone in the state of Ohio who has anything to do with Ohio high school football has been waiting now. For someone to step forward and say, play ball. We usually hear that phrase in baseball, but in football, let them play, all the different things that's been going out there. And I think many people expected the OHSAA to step forward and make an announcement. Hey, here's what we're doing. Here's the plan. That took a while to come. Now we're waiting on Governor Mike DeWine, supposedly Tuesday, but we thought he was going to have that Thursday. And it just keeps getting pushed. What happens Tuesday? What do you think is going to happen? What are you hearing as far as, Governor DeWine's announcement Tuesday is going to be a thing? Go ahead, let's play football. Do you think it's going to be pushed another week to see how things continue to go? Because, these numbers keep going up and down with the COVID. What are you hearing right now as we record this?
So I have my tweet notifications on for OHSAA. I got it for a few other things, football accounts, yada, yada, yada. So I'm sitting there trying to find anything that I can get. If I was a betting man, I don't think it'll get pushed again because we're looking at the season starting in 2 weeks. I don't think they can push it again unless they're going to say we're not playing. So, I'm an optimistic person. I've always have been an optimistic person. I can read the writing on the wall. I think we're going to play. I'll be disappointed if we don't. I'll understand if we don't. Either way, I think we will be playing, hopefully. If it's one game, if it's six games, who cares? These kids have been through a lot of stuff. This whole coronavirus thing and being remote learning and, being at home, some kids having to take care of brothers and sisters. And all of these things, I just hope they get an opportunity to be able to spend their spare time doing something that they enjoy and something that they've worked for. My heart goes out for those who got, because I'm fortunate. I'm extremely fortunate. I work in a private school. We've got the resources to handle this. We're well equipped. My heart goes out for all of my public school teachers and staff and faculty and those kids as well, dealing with this. So I remain optimistic, but either way, I hope it ends up being the best fit for everyone, which I think I believe that it can be done, definitely. So I'm looking forward to it. I got my alerts ready to go for Tuesday. I don't think he's going to push it again because everyone's starting to blow up his Twitter account and everyone's starting to get antsy. But I think at this point, I think it'd be pretty crazy to wait this late and say, all right, we're not doing it. So I think maybe on the back end, they're trying to figure out logistics probably. So here's hoping. I got my fingers crossed.
It's been almost 13 years since we first met. Tell me what Solomon Tettman's life's like today. Because you've had some changes in your life, like everyone does as they get older.
So I got a wonderful wife. I have a beautiful 11-month-year-old baby girl. She'll actually be 12 in 1 year, I should say. I said 12. It'll be 1 year in 22 days. So talk about the fastest year of my life. I feel like I just talked to you three days ago at Dayton Dunbar. So that's going on. I'm at Roger Bacon right now working on stuff. I'm a counselor at Roger Bacon right now. So I'm a Roger Bacon grad. I'm back working at my high school, back coaching at my high school, and it's the best experience. It's everything I could have hoped for and more. I love Roger Bacon atmosphere, and being able to add to that atmosphere, and add to the culture that we have here. We got a special group of kids. We got a mixed bag. This is one of the most, if not the most diverse school in Cincinnati. We got kids who are black and black in inner city. We got kids, black suburbs, white inner city, white suburbs, black poor, black rich, white poor, white rich. We've got Hispanic. We've got exchange students. We've got all types of kids. And the best part about it is when you walk in the lunchroom, or last year when you walk in the lunchroom, there was no, you'd see everyone sitting with everyone, everyone engaging with everyone. It's the same way on our football team. Everyone talking with everyone, everyone engaging with everyone. And that's kind of what I was like and how I was when I was in high school here. You know, obviously everyone knew who I was, because I mean, I played football at the University of Cincinnati and whatnot. But I tried to make sure that I was always around different groups of people, and I was always around everyone in my class. I know for a fact every person's – you show me a picture of every person in my class, I could tell you their name, because I hung out with them at least for 5 minutes at some point, whether it be at a school day or outside of school. That's something that was really important, because I wasn't really like a typical type of jock. You know, I like different types of things. So that's what Roger Bacon is really about, you know, kind of reaching out – developing into a person that can see things from so many different points of view. So I'm that's where I am right now. Obviously in the midst of waiting to see if we're going to play football, but I couldn't be any happier where I am in life. You know, I started off in college football, and you know, I've had so many people ask me the past 3 years, you want to go back to college football? Are you going to do it? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, pump the brakes, brother. It has to be the perfect situation. I'm not waking up at 3:50 in the morning. It's all right. I'm not doing it. But it has to be the perfect situation. It's got to be the perfect storm for me to ever even consider that again. Because I am so happy about where I am. Happy about the kids I get to come in and see every single day. If there is anything that makes coming into work enjoyable, it's being around them and seeing who they are year one, so who they were year one to hear who they are year three, year four. So I my heart is definitely full of what I'm doing right now. I enjoy it fully.
He is Solomon Timmon, young man I've had the pleasure to get to know over these many years and watch grow. And it's been a pleasure to be able to watch that, Solomon. And we wish you continued success. We appreciate you taking the time to do this, because I know you are busy. You're getting ready for a hopefully very successful high school football season in 2020, because you have a lot of talent, that team. And we look forward to catching up here soon when maybe this stuff allows us all to kind of hang out again.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. This is awesome. I love getting on doing type of stuff with this. Hopefully whoever sees this, hopefully they can take something and learn from it. So, but yeah, I'm definitely thankful. I'm hopeful. Next couple of days we get an optimistic outcome for our season and going forward.
Solomon Timmon, Roger Bacon High School, former UC Bearcat. Solomon, again, thank you.